With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ghost Hunting in New England.
Your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Will Fox of the Long Island Paranormal Investigators, New York State Branch. Hey, Will, how are ya?
Hi.
Hey. So we were going to do an episode today on 2020 psychic predictions. That didn't end up working out. Luckily, Will was a champ and came up with a great idea for tonight's episode. And I'm so excited. I think we're going to have so much fun. Should we just get started?
We can always just get started.
All right. So today what we're talking about is the difference between residual and intelligent hauntings, which are kind of the two main hauntings that people talk about when we talk about ghosts being in space. I found this article on Medium that is called The Difference Between a Residual and Intelligent Haunting. Oh, and it is by Justin Benvenu. And so it first says, what is a residual haunting? So I'm going to read off this article, then we're going to talk about it. Will's going to give us some stories, and we're going to go from there. Sound good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Okay. What is a residual haunting? Residual hauntings are somewhat hard to describe, but are fairly common. Also known as psychic impressions, residual hauntings are considered by many as a type of haunting experienced by most people. When a ghost, person or animal, or even an event is witnessed over and over again, or doing the exact same thing, this is known as a residual haunting. It is residual because it is believed that the energy from emotionally charged events imprint onto our world. It is the release of this residual energy that creates a ghost person, ghost animal, or ghostly scene. Famed paranormal investigator Frederick W. H. Myers called this type of haunting a vertical afterimage. A residual haunting, according to Myers' definition, would be a memory impression left by individuals, animals, or events, especially, it would seem, when under duress from a time when there was the release of strong emotions left as pictures in the atmosphere of a particular site. The ghosts of residual hauntings can be both seen or heard repeating the same activity. It is believed that most disembodied footsteps and many ghostly noises that are heard in a haunted place might be residual in origin. The residual sounds can be heard over and over and by different people. For example, it is said in the Queen Mary's second class pool room, one can still hear splashing, though the pool is now empty. We may think of residual hauntings as a movie being replayed day after day, and occasionally someone is lucky enough to see or hear the encore. It is believed by ghost hunters that some events, due to strong emotional energy attached to it, imprints themselves on the environment where the event took place, sort of trapped in time. The event is recorded in the atmosphere of the location. It's the same as spirits of people. If one were to see a ghost doing the same activity over and over and with no response to the present environment, it is likely a residual haunting. The person's spirit is not there, in this theory, but just the phantasm of them exists, like a photograph in time. Residual hauntings are past events playing in the present, but with no interaction and no connection to the present. And that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, there's a couple things that it doesn't really cover, but the one thing that's needs to be clear when you're talking about a residual haunting is the fact that the spirit of whoever you're seeing or whatever you're seeing happen, whether it be a battle, like the epicenter of residual hauntings in the USA is Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. what you're seeing with the like battles that are entire battles that are being held in front of you, what you're seeing is not the spirits of those individuals that you're, it's just like a, it's almost a, just a spiritual projection of what happened at one point in their lives. So the biggest thing to remember when you're dealing with a residual haunting is that there's not a physical entity there. It's just a recording of it.
Yeah, and like you and I were talking about a little before the show, a lot of times this is called stone tape theory. And so in the stone tape theory, it's that what's causing this is the energy kind of gets trapped on these natural materials around.
Right, yeah. And one of the departments that we have in Long Island Paranormal Investigators is called the Stones Department. And they deal with, you know, all the stones that could potentially be involved with stone tape theory, some being limestone, magnetite, granite, quartz are the four big ones. You know, they call it stone tape theory, but it's kind of biased because wood, sand, dirt, pretty much anything can potentially be a part of stone tape theory. It's just more likely with, you know, things like limestone because it just has a more qualities of being able to absorb energy like that and store it. But most people think that when, you know, something like I said, wood, sand, or dirt, they're not quite as good at recording and holding that energy. So if it gets disturbed, say like, you know, construction comes through and overturns the soil, or, you know, people run along the beach and step in the sand, or trees get knocked down, the energy kind of stored up in those mediums gets released almost. Not erased, but just released, and it's not projected and recorded and played over. As if it would with stone, which is, I guess, why they call it stone tape theory, right?
And yeah, like you said, it's important for people to remember that it is just this kind of like, and like it said in the article too, like this movie. It's not like a soul stuck there. I remember I was telling my friend Kat about these, and I was like, you know, it's like sometimes you'll go somewhere and it'll just, if a couple argues a lot in the kitchen, there might be some remnants of that one big argument going over and over again every day. And she was like, that's their eternity. Like they just argue all the time. Like that's where they're like, they put so much energy into that. They're like, now that's where they are forever. And I was like, no. It's just leftover energy. And no one has to worry about that.
I'd probably have a lot less arguments if that was even possible.
Yes, absolutely. Like,
yeah, that brings up a good point where residual hauntings aren't solely just something that you can see happening over and over again. It could also, like you said, just be like a feeling of a good example is hospitals, where if you step into what used to be the emergency room, a lot of people will just feel anxiety and almost panic at times, where obviously the feeling in an emergency room is kind of excitement and a lot of high energy. And that could be absorbed even by, you know, just a normal room. And that feeling just stays there. And that's absolutely a perfect example of residual haunting, especially when you can't necessarily see something happening, but when you walk in, that residual energy of just the same thing happening over and over and over again in the same spot, you could feel it.
Yeah. And I want to get your opinion on this. When I go into a lot of haunted locations, it's like you walk through the door and you can just feel it's haunted, right?
Yes. I don't necessarily know if it's haunted when I first walk in. You could definitely feel something. You feel something's not right, or you feel something's just off.
Right.
There's plenty of places that I can give an example where it absolutely, as soon as you step over what seems to be just some sort of artificial threshold, you can just, it's like you hit a brick wall at some points.
Right. So I'm wondering do you think all or the majority of hauntings have the residual component to it?
That's a pretty good question. That's a good question. It hit me with on the spot, Amelia.
Sorry, Will.
But yeah, no, I think you bring up a pretty good point, actually. Cause, you know, most hauntings, you know, we're kind of merging worlds with residual and intelligent hauntings. But, you know, like I was talking about with you earlier, those kind of go hand in hand sometimes, where a lot of people will say a haunted location, they get both kinds of hauntings happening in the same spot. So to have an intelligent haunting, there's generally a pretty good reason why that spirit is attached to that location or that person or that object or, you know, whatever it is. So there's a reason that spirit is there. And majority of the time it's there because that spirit was there in their lifetime and that location probably has a significant meaning to that person as a person. You know, majority of the time, obviously, it's like a house or something like that that they lived in. And when you spend so much time in one spot, that energy could definitely get absorbed and probably simultaneously create residual and intelligent hauntings, which brings up a question that I'm thinking about now as I'm talking. I'm kind of forming this question. I'm going to pose this question to you because you already posed one to me before. Do you think that there's ever been a spirit that's actively intelligently haunting a location that encounters its own residual haunting? For example, let's say, kind of a sad example, but let's say someone gets, killed in a house and they don't truly accept the fact that they're dead. And that's one example of an intelligent haunting is that a spirit might, you know, wander a house not knowing that they're dead yet. But do you think that spirit in that situation has ever encountered its own projection, let's say, of itself walking through a wall or something like that?
That is a really, really great question. I think that's ever happened. I mean, probably makes sense. Seems like right? Something that would happen. Yeah.
The only thing I could think would make that not something that would happen would be if for some reason residual hauntings are something that us as living beings can only experience. So maybe there's something about residual hauntings that only a living being can experience, whatever it is, be it a feeling, a sound, a vision, or something like that.
Well, see, I almost thought of that. I don't want to say opposite, but along those kinds of same lines. Because when I was thinking about it, I was like, okay, well, if these hauntings are the energy we leave over from these events, right? So a lot of times these events that are causing the residual haunting to happen prior to people dying. So I was thinking like, you know, let's say you're with someone or you have a family member or something who's like really negative. You can just walk into that person's room and it just feels really negative, right? Because the energy right. that they're putting onto it. Maybe they can walk into that room and kind of feel that negativity. You know what I mean? So that in a sense is them in some way being able to connect to what might later become their, like the energy they're leaving there, right?
I mean, that makes sense to me. So then, I guess.
Yeah. Go ahead. So then I'm wondering if, you know, once you kind of cross over and you become a spirit in whatever kind of dimensions they're existing in, like layered with ours, if then they're able to see more, so that would make it more likely for them to, I don't really know what I'm trying to say. Does that make sense?
No, I get you. We're onto something here.
I think we are.
Because I think to the point that you're talking about, we're almost crossing the line from, and I don't even know where the line is, but we're almost crossing the line from residual haunting over to, something that I'm not fluent in at all, but like, I guess like feng shui and like spirituality, where like, you know, that kind of, the kind of belief that if you're always positive, then you might be able to create this positivity vibe in your space.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, where do you cross the line of residual haunting into like
energy
that kind of right? thinking?
Well, that's the thing. So that's why stone tape is so fascinating to me because I'm a Reiki master. And I think that I was talking about this with you last week where yep. you were saying like, how come you record in a studio and not in your home? I'm like, I don't really let a lot of people into my home because I'm like very cognizant of the energy. It's really important to me to like have the control over the energy. And like, I do all the feng shui stuff at home. I have all my crystals everywhere and all my plants and everything, that I don't watch certain TV shows in the house. Like, I'll watch them other places, but like, I don't allow them in my home. You know, you gotta protect your energy, you know?
You know, that's interesting because I don't do any of those things. I have no issues. Like, I sit at my desk and research demons and I have books and books of the names of demons that you're definitely not supposed to say out loud. But I, you know, these things litter my house. I'm actively, and this is going to be a shout out to all your listeners. If anybody has any haunted dolls, I'm all about it. Get in contact with me at will_fox_paranormal. DM me on Instagram. Let me know. I will take them from you. I am actively searching for haunted dolls because I am so fascinated with them. And I just want to bring them in to my space. I'm completely 180. I don't know why. I just really do. I'm my fiance is staring at me with a very weird look.
Oh gosh, God bless her.
Opposite end of the spectrum here.
Total opposite. Yeah, no, I am so careful about it. Like, especially when I go somewhere haunted and then I go home, like, I have the salt out everywhere. I'm doing sage stuff. I'm like, I just keep my home. It's me. It's my cat. We have nice energy. Okay. Well, anyway, enough about that.
Yeah, I got some examples, or I really just one example. It's not necessarily a story. It's just more information about a certain scenario or okay, location.
Cool. Yeah.
And I know I'm not from New England. I don't think I've ever even really set foot in New England.
What?
But
no way.
I know, right?
No
I
way. Know. You're from Long Island. You've never been to Connecticut?
Yeah, actually, that is a lie. I have been to Connecticut, and I kind of forgot about that. So, so disregarding what I just said, I did find a good example of a residual haunting in New England. It's at the Rhode Island School of Design in Providence, Rhode Island. Like I said, it's not necessarily a story. I'm just going to give a quick rundown of the school itself because it was founded in 1877. A lot of the buildings on the campus were literally built on top of local family graveyards that had gone unclaimed for years.
Wow.
I just quickly read into the research or building process of the campus, and when they purchased the plot of land, there was, like I said, just a couple of local family graveyards, and they tried to find the owners or the family members of the people that were buried, and they couldn't find any of them, not one. So they were relocated to local cemeteries, and they built right on top of, they didn't build on top of bodies, but they were all relocated. But one of the houses on the campus called the Dexter House was, and this was interesting, it was sawed in half, like hand sawed, because this was back in the early 1900s. It was hand sawed in half and moved from its original location to the location where it is now. But the structure itself remained the same. And the original structure was originally a morgue and a funeral home. So obviously a little bit of residual haunting possibility there. And this is just a fun fact. In 1937, the wake of H.P. Lovecraft was held there.
Ooh.
Yeah. But the point of bringing this up, Rhode Island School of Design is a perfect example of residual hauntings because the two main sightings of, you know, things that are reported there are spirits walking through walls, which is a quintessential example of a residual haunting because whenever you see a spirit walking through a wall, more often than not, like we said before, that spirit just spent a lot of time there. Maybe they had lived there prior or whatever it may be. But more often than not, when that spirit walks through that wall, there might have been a doorway, right, where they're walking through. And it might have just been either moved or sealed up or something like that. So one big thing of, like I said, residual hauntings, when they're walking through those walls, it probably used to be a doorway. So it's just residual energy of that spirit just walking through that doorway. And for whatever reason, that is what got recorded in that one spot. But there's tons of sightings of that here, and as well as spirits that are, and this is on a campus, spirits that just kind of walk around, just seem like they're searching for something. And like I said, with the graveyards, the local family graveyards, these spirits very well could just be attached to their body. And when spirits become attached to their body, they generally settle around where the body lands. And for whatever reason, these spirits might not know that their body was moved, and they could just be wandering the campus grounds looking for their bodies where they used to be buried.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's sad too.
It is. It is kind of sad.
Yeah.
But it's another fun fact. Another fun fact. This is completely off topic. I just found this when I was doing research. Some notable alumni that went to Rhode Island School of Design: James Franco.
Yep.
Seth MacFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
Heather Henson, who's the daughter of Jim Henson, the founder of the Muppets, and Brian Chesky and Joe Gebbia, who are the founders of Airbnb.
Cool. Yeah, Rhode Island School of Design is basically the Harvard University of art schools. It is really, really amazing. It's unbelievable. I wish I went there.
Definitely interesting.
All right. Okay. So now we move on to intelligent hauntings, which personally I think are a little more interesting.
Yeah. This is generally what people think of when they think of hauntings in general.
Yeah. We are now back to reading off of this Medium article. And it is, intelligent hauntings are those in which ghost interacts with the present. It is intelligent in that the ghost may communicate or interfere in some fashion with those of us living on the earthly plane. The disembodied person has elected for some reason to stay here due to a connection with a person, place, or thing. Intelligent hauntings sometimes happen due to a spirit's compelling need to deliver a message from the other side of the grave or to watch over loved ones. In addition, it is always possible that an intelligent haunting can occur due to attachments the ghostly person feels to memories, trauma, tragedy, or any other emotional tie, effectively binding the mind to not realizing the deceased person's body has indeed expired, aka they don't know they're dead, completing unfinished earthly business, reliving traumatic events as the mind consistently replays the event in an attempt to comprehend, perhaps remaining with loved ones or persons the ghost finds like company with, not letting go due to some form of fear after death, such as fear of punishment or moving on into the unknown. Intelligent haunting manifests typically in what some may consider to be ghost signs: hiding or moving objects, doors opening and closing, hearing strange sounds, noticing a spiritual presence, and disturbance of electrical devices are all examples of ghosts attempting to gain someone's attention and communicate from the spirit realm. One may also experience dreams and visions of loved ones, especially right before or after sleep, when most of us are more open to contact and the left brain has quieted down. It is also not uncommon to physically see a ghostly loved one as well, as either an apparition or shadowed form. The best thing one can do is remain open to the contact and listen to what is heard deep within, as that is how ghosts primarily communicate. If you encounter a haunting, seek to speak to the spirit using words of peace, compassion, and love. There you go. That's that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peace, compassion, and love.
God bless him.
No, that pretty much wrapped it up pretty well, because like I said, intelligent hauntings are what people think of when they think of hauntings. So if you're thinking of that ghost that might be in your house, it's probably an intelligent haunting. Even though residual hauntings are way more common, but for some reason people talk about intelligent hauntings way more often. So more than likely, if you're thinking of that quintessential haunting that might be in your house, or that ghost that looks at you from the corner, that's technically an intelligent haunting.
Yes. Well, I think part of it is, too, that they're scarier for a lot of people. You know what I mean? That makes you want to talk more. Like, I can go into a basement of a certain place and feel, you know, weird energy. But then other times when I'm standing around and a loaf of bread gets thrown at me, that's... It's a better story.
No, I can't relate. I can't relate. I think I'd be more scared in the basement.
Okay, so I found a article out of Connecticut on an intelligent haunting that happened in a restaurant. And everyone knows haunted restaurants are my favorite. So this is actually pretty recent, too. This is from March 29, 2019. So that is not that long ago.
Almost 1 year.
Almost. Okay, and this is from the New Haven Register. When Sarah Tigret first saw objects moving on their own inside her popular Berlin restaurant, Ramen Ya, she thought she was going, quote, a little crazy. Isn't everyone in the food industry crazy? Okay. But after reaching out to paranormal investigation team recently, Tigget learned her mind wasn't playing tricks on her, but rather she has a friendly ghost haunting the place, named Ben. Tigret opened the Japanese restaurant at 1128 Farmington Ave in Berlin in January 2017. Not long after opening, Tigret noticed some unusual things, often between 1 and 4 a.m., caught on the surveillance cameras.
The witching hour.
First, there were heavy bags of flour seemingly moving on their own. Then, a mallet flew across the dining room, and a pair of tongs rotated in the air and fell to the ground. Another time, doors were seen closing by themselves. But Tiet really became concerned when she saw what appeared to be a man's legs wearing work boots standing behind some boxes after closing up one night. She was convinced an intruder had gotten inside the building, but after searching the area, she realized the doors were still locked and nobody could have gotten in. When Tigret decided to enlist the help of Connecticut spirit investigators and researchers who conducted a paranormal investigation at Ramen Ya last month. At first, I thought maybe I was going crazy. For some reason, they changed her name here to Tigretti. But that's okay. Noting the town's fire marshal suggested she may contact a paranormal team after reviewing her videos. I looked for a team. Wait, what? So she must have shown the video to the fire marshal, and he was like, yeah, that's not us, man. So, okay. town's fire marshal suggested she contact a paranormal team after reviewing her photos. I looked for a team that had lots of experience and would also not try to make the spirit go away since he is my friend. Rose Porto, founder and head investigator of the Connecticut Spirit, and her team spent the night at Ramen Ya on February 23rd. And when all the mist, shadowy figures, and orbs cleared, determined the restaurant is haunted. The owner, Sarah, contacted me. She wanted confirmation her restaurant was haunted and wanted to know who the ghost was. Porto, who has been investigating paranormal activity for 20 years, founded Connecticut Spirit in 2003 to help people find answers and get help for unusual happenings in their homes and businesses in an effort to educate and alleviate fears. In the case of Ramen Ya, Tiget's suspicion was she was not alone, especially after hours, were confirmed by Porto's team. During the investigation, my team and I had numerous experiences. We saw a man's shadow in the kitchen area. On several occasions, we caught flying energy balls of light on our night video cameras. We got intelligent responses from our ghost box giving us the name Ben and confirming he was a worker from the area. Porto said historical data shows at one time the area was alive with blacksmiths, farms, and mills, where Ramen Ya is now situated. According to town record, the building was built in 1963, and several other businesses occupied the space, including a European deli. The spirit told us through our devices that he liked Sarah and he was there to help her work. We asked the spirit to make our REM pod, a ghost detecting device that radiates its own electromagnetic ring, to go off. At one point, it was beeping for a full 6 minutes. Tiget spent the night with the team and couldn't believe the amount of activity that occurred. Aside from the crazy amount of orbs, aside from the crazy amount of orbs that were picking up on camera, we could actually see mist manifest and block out a grid light system that was set up to see if anything materialized. Okay, really, really quick. That is the first time I've ever heard of the grid light system working. Have you ever had it work for you, Will?
I haven't. No, I don't think I can remember any actual evidence coming from a grid system. I mean, we use them all the time, but I don't think we've ever gotten any actual evidence from it.
I mean, this is the first time I've even, I think one team, actually half of their team was from Connecticut. They told me like one time they saw a shadow walk through it, but that's the only other time I've ever heard of this working. So that's kind of wild to me.
Wow.
Okay, back to the story. We also heard Ben's voice. The part that made me think it was all real was when they used the spirit box and he was answering every question and stated that his name was the nickname we gave him in the restaurant, Ghost Khan. Tiget said Ben actually has been good for business, with a lot of regular customers inquiring about new sightings or events. Several customers have claimed to have witnessed weird things at Ramania, including a music box playing, feelings of being watched by a man's figure, and, since Connecticut Spirit's investigation, Tiget no longer is fearful of the shadowy man hanging around. I personally like having him around. I think he's good luck. Porto said she knows people can be skeptical about the paranormal, and she agrees that the unexplained should be left alone. But when people are being terrorized in their own homes by something they cannot see, and children and pets are being visibly hurt by unforeseen forces, they need people like us who will go into these places, figure out how we can help them, take control, and take back their lives and homes. Not all hauntings are friendly. Some are truly evil. Porto's team has investigated numerous homes, businesses, and historical sites in Connecticut and along the East Coast. The team is planning a second investigation of Ramania on April 6th. That's a good article. Again, this is called Ghost Hunter Finds Paranormal Activity at a Restaurant. It's by Jean Flabo Sonosovic, and it is from the New Haven Register. So what do you think of that?
I think that's pretty interesting. I mean, it sounded, my first thought when they were talking about the bags of flour flying around, the mallet, all kinds of crazy stuff, my first thought was poltergeist, because that's yeah, a lot of moving activity. But then it, you know, she went on to see a man's legs and work boots and shadows, and I don't know. Yeah, that's definitely, well, there's no question that it's an intelligent haunting for sure.
Oh, not at all. My thing though, so I know I'm a little paranoid, but I kind of feel like if I'm in a restaurant, right, and a mallet flies, I'm not thinking that's super friendly. That doesn't feel like lucky. Like a mallet flying at you. That doesn't feel like happy,
help, right?
Happy, lucky fun. That's like, oh my God.
I mean, you never know. He might have been grabbing the mallet to tenderize chicken or something. We don't know.
That's true. You know what? I only work with vegetarian stuff, so I didn't even think of that.
That's a side of the meat eating world that you don't know anything about.
Right. Okay. He was just trying to help out.
Yeah.
All right. So, do we have anything else we want to say about residual versus intelligent hauntings?
Pretty much covered everything.
I think so. So if any of our listeners out there, you guys have kind of been slacking a little with sending me your ghost stories. Although a lot of people have been sending me, I'm going to send you a ghost story message. I would like to receive all of those. So if you guys have any examples in your own life of residual versus intelligent hauntings, please send them my way, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. I did get one update on a story from one of our listeners, though.
Have a look at this.
So this comes all the way down from Australia, from Daniel. Hey, Daniel. And he sent this to me on Sunday. His Monday, as we're going to find out. I literally, right this minute, 2:35 a.m., Monday, local time, did my newspaper magazine delivery at the shop I mentioned in one of my stories, Jim, the angry ghost standing in the doorway at the back of the shop. And I noticed a strange effect. Nothing is different than any other morning except a huge but relatively dry thunderstorm has been through here. When I walked into the old shop, it was like walking into a crypt. Colder than outside, dark as a tomb, and the hair on my back stood on end. I suddenly realized there were two entities standing in the back of the shop. Jim, looking fainter than usual, and a darker person standing behind him. The dark one felt stronger. Looks like I may have to do more spirit interrogation. Well, thank you, Daniel, so much for sending that to me, that little quick update. And I hope you do a little more snooping around in that formal floral shop in Australia. And you can send us what the next entity's name is. And I would also like to point out to everyone, because that just reminded me, because Daniel's from Australia, is that if you go to our website, we do have a section on our website where you can donate to help the koalas being hurt by the fires down there. I have been talking to Daniel, and I do know he and his family, thank God, are in a place away from the fires, so he is not affected, and I am so thankful for that. But that's all the mail I got for this week. So, Will, do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
Sure. So, as always, you can find the Long Island Paranormal Investigators at liparanormalinvestigators.com. We also do pretty much daily YouTube videos. If you just search Long Island Paranormal Investigators on YouTube. And then you can follow me personally at will_fox_paranormal on Instagram. And remember to DM me if you have a haunted doll in your hands that you don't want anymore. I will take it.
Yes, yeah, send all your haunted dolls over to Will. Okay, well, thank you all so much. Will, thank you again for coming on and co-hosting and doing a tremendous amount of work with this episode. Thank you.
My pleasure.
So you can find me online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, which I need to update, and I know that, and I'll hopefully do this week. You can find me on Instagram at ghosthuntinginnewengland, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, on Twitter, ghosthuntingne. Thank you to everyone who's been following us on Twitter. Please continue to follow us. If you'd be so kind, please subscribe to our show and leave us a 5-star review in the Apple iTunes store. If you don't feel the show deserves 5 stars, just send me a private message telling me what I can do to make the show a little bit better for you. And as always, you can send a carrier pigeon to beautiful, sunny Somerville, Massachusetts, care of Somerville Media Center. Thank you to Aaron Schilb, who did all of our introduction music for the show. And again, thank you so much to Will Fox, lead investigator of Long Island Paranormal Investigators, New York State Division. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great week. And as always, happy hunting.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.